Welcome to NHL Draft Class, part two of our special NHL Scouting Combine coverage. Go back and listen to part one with Macklin Celebrini, the projected number one pick of the 2024 draft, and Chris Morehouse, the director of amateur scouting for the San Jose Sharks, who have the number one pick. Mike, part two, we've got three fantastic guests, all likely top 15 picks in the draft.
Absolutely. Caden Lindstrom from Medicine Hat, the center there. We all expect him to go somewhere in that maybe that top six range, right at him, one of the best power forwards of this draft. Zee Bouyum, the great defenseman for the University of Denver, two-way type of player, has been compared to some Norris Trophy candidates, some Norris Trophy winners, actually a national champion, a world junior champion. And then we have, of course, Cole Eiserman from the National Team Development Program under 18 team. Cole, projected, and we all see it at him, probably possesses the best shot of this draft class.
Also, probably the biggest question mark among the top 16 picks. Where could he go? He could go anywhere from 3, 4, all the way down maybe to 16, 17, maybe he gets to 20. Everybody wants to know where he's going to go, what the potential is. It's going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to these three guests. Great individuals. Obviously, they're here during the Combine interview week, so there's a lot on their plate, but they stopped in to join us.
Like Mike said, we had the chance to sit down with Caden Lindstrom from Medicine Hat, number three on NHL Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters. Just a fantastic, big, strong power forward. But here is our conversation with Caden.
Interviewing process this week. How many interviews do you have, and how has the whole thing been for you?
Yeah, it's been great. They're treating us like kings here. Food's great. I've had 19 interviews in total.
So I want to go back to the beginning, I guess the halfway point of your season. Can you take us through what happened with your injury and sort of how things kind of went for you as the second half of the season was more rehab than actual playing hockey?
Yeah, obviously I was out for a couple months there, but just with the hand, it was a quick heal after surgery, only like 3 weeks or something like that. But with the back, it's just rehab, different exercises, core exercises, stuff like that. And that's really it. Yeah.
Okay, now at what point in your career did you realize that you were going to be a power forward? And knowing that you were going to be that type of player, how you wanted to establish that identity throughout every level that you've been at?
Yeah, so I think from a young age, I was always a bigger kid. I was always the bigger kid. I was tall, a little bit bigger when I was younger, but you know how it is, the chubbiness when you're younger. But yeah, I just put on, kind of lengthened out when I was, about 14, put on some muscle. But after I knew I was going to be a power forward, I decided to add some skill to my game as well. And just practiced, worked on my game to get that skill level up. So
My chubbiness came on later in life. It'll work out. Yeah. I think you'll be all right. Just kind of, you know, you did miss so much time this season. How are you able to stay positive and keep in the right mindset? Because there's so much that goes into your first NHL draft eligible season. You want to impress the scouts. You want to impress all the general managers that want to see you, and you can't play. So how are you able to stay positive and not kind of dwell on the negative and sort of let it eat away at you?
Tough, definitely, not being with the guys and just going through rehab every day, not being able to really do much. I just kind of had to stick with it. I couldn't get too down so I was just focused on the positive things that were ahead, like trying to get healthy, also just working on other parts of my game, whether it's just working on my hands or something like that, because that's all I could really do at the time. And
you were able to come back at the end of the season, got into a couple of games for Medicine Hat in the playoffs. What did it mean for you, regardless of how you played or what the numbers were, just to put the gear on, get the skates on, and get out with your guys again in a game environment? What did that do for you, not just physically, but also mentally?
Yeah, it helped me a lot. Just being with the guys again and being able to play, go through that with them in the playoffs, it was great. Obviously, not the outcome we wanted. But, it just felt so good coming back and hearing the crowd again. It was awesome.
What is it about your game that maybe isn't talked about enough?
My skilled part of the game and my hockey IQ. I think I have a really good hockey IQ, and I think I make plays, just playmaking.
So you only played half a season, and yet you were still voted top draft prospect in the CHL. What did that mean to you that people still recognized who you were, what kind of player you are, and what kind of player you're eventually going
to
be?
Yeah, it meant a lot to me seeing all those names on the trophy when I was there. It was really good. I was really grateful to win that trophy, and yeah, it was good.
In addition to hockey, you excelled in baseball and track and field. And I wrote this down because it's kind of incredible. But yeah. I know you ran a 4.38 40-meter dash last summer. Yeah. And I looked this up. It would have ranked 13th at the 23 NFL Combine that time.
Yeah.
So why did you ultimately choose hockey? And how was track and field and baseball for you?
Baseball is my second sport. I loved baseball growing up. It would have been nice to play it a little longer, but you know how it is. Yeah, but I also love track and field. I ran it through middle school when I was there and a little bit of elementary. I still run track to this day, obviously, just for training purposes and stuff like that. But yeah, with baseball, I went to provincials and stuff like that. Yeah, it was really good. It was fun.
What position did you play in baseball? And was there a position that you preferred one over the other?
Yeah. I played shortstop and second base most of the time. So
okay.
more action there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I talk to scouts, they talk about your explosive skating, and obviously that comes from track. But how does the track training kind of help you on the ice?
Yeah, I think helps with everything. I think just overall athleticism, just being able to explode other blocks, getting your feet under you quickly, also the structure of it, just everything really, the explosive power, the length of the stride when you're running, stuff like that. Yeah,
certainly someone very important in your life. You were raised by a single mom, Trisha. Talk a little bit about her and what she's meant in your journey here.
Yeah, she's great. She's doing school for nursing right now, so that's great. She's doing really well. She's raising my three younger sisters. Mm. They're doing great, still in elementary school. But yeah, just the sacrifices I've seen her make when I was younger. She's a big motivation for me, and also my sisters for this career I'm trying to pursue. And yeah.
And they'll all be there with you at the draft?
Yes, they will.
They will, yeah. Nice.
Is that going to be everybody's first trip to Vegas?
It will be, yeah.
Is there anything particular you're looking forward to seeing when you get to Las Vegas? I mean, the Sphere has become this kind of big thing, but there's so much to do in Vegas. Is there anything you're looking forward to kind of seeing more than any other?
I'm just excited to be there. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I'm excited to see the Sphere, how it's going to be set up. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah.
Who are some of the players that you enjoy watching in the NHL, Caden? And is there any player you like to model your game after?
Yeah, I like watching like Matthews, Adrian Kempe as well. I just like their style of play. But I'd say I don't really try to resemble my game after anyone. I kind of try to make my own player, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I think I play a lot like a Rupe Hintz, both power forward, skilled, quick, physical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this one of the scouts I talked to, they love the skating and the skill. They also said you had a little bit of a mean streak, and they in a positive way.
Yeah.
So you're a bigger guy. Obviously, you can still get even bigger and stronger. Do you want to be that power forward guy at the next level? I know you just said Rupe Hintz, and I don't know if you need to be a guy who runs people through the wall, but do you want to be a guy who can play that power forward style and use your size to kind of protect the puck, create space for yourself in that way?
Yeah, for sure. I was built for that. Just use my speed and size for an advantage. I'm going to use it in every situation I can. So, yeah, just adding on the skill and stuff like that to that game, yeah, I'll be happy to do that as well. So,
do you do a lot of video work with Coach Desjardins? What was that like during the course of the season, and how important is that to you?
Yeah, I do tons of video work with him and the assistant coaches as well. We do a lot of one-on-one video and team video at the same time. But yeah, it's helped me tremendously throughout the 2 years I've been there, whether it's D-zone, offensive zone, just tweaking little parts of my game, yeah.
What's the summer going to look like for you now that you're healthy, you're back on the ice? What's the summer going to look like training for you and making sure whatever happened last season doesn't become an ongoing issue?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm obviously going to go pretty hard and try and get healthy, 100% healthy as I can. Work on, get back to the track, get the strength back, hands back and everything like that, and hopefully get 100% for main camp.
Do you consider yourself a center at the next level, Caden? Or have you been getting a lot of questions from scouts and general managers if you see yourself as a wing center at the NHL level?
Yeah, I get that question all the time. Obviously, I'd like to be more of a two-way centerman. I'm not quite there yet, but I'll get there soon enough. But yeah, I see myself as a centerman. But I think I adapt pretty well to situations, whether it's on the wing or in the center. So,
Caden Lindstrom, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. Good luck the rest of the
week
here at the
Scouting
Combine.
Appreciate it.
I think we both can say that this is the biggest power forward of this draft. He's been compared to those big power type players. We even had a comparison to Eric Lindros. I know John Williams had brought up Eric Lindros when we spoke to John on NHL Draft Class a couple weeks ago. So Lindstrom to me could be one of those players that's those tweeners where, you know, you're looking at three. Will he go? Will Anaheim maybe take a shot on him? Columbus at number four. I had him going at number five to the Montreal Canadiens in our mock drafts. If he's able to fall that far, I know you had him going to Columbus, correct?
Yeah, I had him to the Blue Jackets at number four. The thought of stacking, we talked about this when we did the lottery mock draft show on NHL Draft Class, which you can go back and listen to. But the thought of stacking Adam Fantilli and Caden Lindstrom as your top two centers, if you're looking to build a team, you build through the middle, big size, those two guys would be fantastic. And for me, though, I don't know if the combine was more important to any player than it was to Caden Lindstrom, just so teams would know the health. You know, he missed the entire second half of the season, talked about coming back for four playoff games, but he wasn't himself. He needed to show teams that he's going to be healthy, and he'll do some of the fitness testing, you know, and again, that will go farther to show he's healthy enough to be the player that's worth being drafted in the top five and have a long, long, solid NHL career.
Yeah, his agency provided all 32 NHL clubs with the medical report that the doctors had provided, which was that he's going to be fine. The back issue that he had to deal with, missed that entire second half of the season at Medicine Hat, shouldn't be an issue. But that's why you have the combine, right, Adam? These teams can, the scouts, the GMs can evaluate the medicals, see what's going to come about come, you know, August after the draft, get them into their rooms and check them out. But I think it looks like, as far as the medicals are concerned, Caden Lindstrom is going to be fine, and he's going to go somewhere in that top eight range.
Then he's going to be a monster. He projects to be just a dominant player.
So from a power forward, we're going to go to an elite top-end defenseman in Zeev Bouyam. Zeev came in, obviously, all the interviews that he's done this week, and he's done plenty, one of those two-way type defensemen. I look at him when I watch him play kind of like a left-handed Adam Fox.
That's not bad. You know, you look at guys, he's certainly, he's not going to be a Shea Weber huge, but he's certainly thick, looks strong, plays a strong game, and the offensive skills are off the chart. Led NCAA defenseman in scoring, wins a national title, wins a World Junior gold medal. Like, you want winners on your team. He's certainly done it.
Yep, and we caught up with Zeev, and let's get to that interview right now.
How's it been so far with the interviews? Any funny questions, interesting questions, stuff that kind of threw you for a loop maybe?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, first of all. But, nothing too bad or nothing, I guess, unique so far. Kind of just been the basic, kind of just get to know me and get to know them. So, it's been super fun and a great experience so far.
Zeev, obviously everyone knows about your ability as an offensive-type defenseman. Do you think you get enough credit for your defensive ability and what you're able to do on the back end of the ice?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, for my teammates, for sure. I think they understand how much effort I put into that side of my game and how much I care about it. So they've obviously helped me a ton, and so has the coaching staff. So I think from Denver itself, they've definitely have been appreciative of it. But it doesn't really matter what the outside perspective thinks.
I'm sure you had in mind what college hockey would be like, whether watching from afar, friends, your brother, you know, and how you would have to adjust your game to kind of be successful. But when you look back on your season, did even you exceed your expectations a little bit, the success you had?
Yeah, I mean, for sure it was a very unique, awesome year. I mean, to win a national championship with my brother was so unique, and to win the 10th one for Denver was such a special opportunity. I was so fortunate to be on that team with such a great group of guys. And I love all those guys. They're my best friends for life. And so it was a very unique and special year. Definitely exceeded my expectations for sure. But, we did have a high standard and a high expectation going into the year. So, we achieved our end goal. And, personally, I felt really good with the year. And, so it was all really good.
Are you given a lot of freedom by Coach David Carl, you know, given the green light to do what you need to do offensively when you see an opportunity to do that?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, they'll do video. They'll help me out. But for the most part, they like to be very easygoing on me and, you know, kind of just let me be me and do what I want to do out there. But, you know, at the same time, they'll harp on me and, you know, be hard and honest about, you know, things I need to improve on. So they have a great balance of the both of it, but they're really good at kind of letting me be free and play my game.
So I'm curious, which celebration video do you watch the most? World Juniors or NCAA? Not everybody has to choose. Most people are lucky to get even one.
Yeah.
You got both in the same year. Which one are you kind of... I'm not going to ask you which one was your favorite,
yeah,
but which video have you kind of watched more of?
Both. I watched both a ton. Every time I watch the both of them, it's goosebumps. I mean, we still watch our U18 gold medal as well. So every time I watch them, it's a little bit of goosebumps. I think the national championship one was a different feeling, especially with my brother. I mean, both kind of broke down crying when you know, we were celebrating together after the game. So it was a very unique, like I said, very special opportunity, and seeing kind of our parents and our brother, you know, there was, you know, so unique. So probably say the national championship one I've watched several times, and it doesn't get old. Yeah.
And it was a special situation with you, with the fact that David Carl coached the team at World Juniors, the United States. Yeah. You won a gold medal. Then he's your coach at Denver, win a national championship. But how did – take me back to World Juniors there, Zeev, and how did World Juniors kind of catapult you to the season you had over the second half at Denver?
Yeah, I think, you know, being able to make that team is something you dream about as a kid. And, you know, just making it is awesome. And, you know, having the group to win it was super, super special. And doing it with, obviously, with Coach Carl and, you know, one of our other coaches, Travis, was there, and, you know, obviously our equipment guy, Nick Meldrum. So it was a very, very awesome experience for me to be there with, you know, some of the guys from Denver staff. But, yeah, I think it just kind of gives you a little bit of a confidence boost to go into that second half and kind of feel good about yourself and, you know, that you can, you know, have a different level of confidence going in. So definitely helped a little bit. But, you know, obviously was trying to put it away for the second half of the season and, you know, focus on our goal at Denver, which was to win the national championship.
So part of the interview process here is you selling yourself a little bit to the NHL teams. They're learning about you, but they want to hear what you have to say about yourself. You're number four in the final ranking of North American defensemen, but there is a lot of top-end defensemen available in this year's draft. So Team X, won't name a particular one, says, we want to take you with our first-round pick. We want to make you maybe the first defenseman drafted. Why should we draft Zeev Bouyam?
Yeah, I think I'm the most competitive kid in the draft, and I also think I'm a winner. I mean, you know, I think teams want winners. Everyone wants to win the Stanley Cup, and you need winning guys in that locker room. So I think that those are the two things that, you know, solely will kind of sell it. So that's the biggest things for me is skill aside, everything aside. I'm a highly competitive kid, and you know, I want to win, and I have one.
When you watch defensemen today in the NHL, which defensemen do you like to, you know, copy, maybe emulate into your game, players that you enjoy watching?
Yeah, I think for me, I like watching everybody. I want to be my own player. If there's, you know, things I can emulate into my game, you know, I'll do that. But, you know, Quinn Hughes is probably the most similar. You know, not the biggest guy, good skater. I'm obviously really good offensively. So someone I love watching, someone, you know, I try to learn from. But that's kind of the biggest thing.
I'm curious, we mentioned your coach a few times, David Carl. What makes him such a special coach? Obviously, you know, we can look at the championships and the wins and losses, but, you know, he's a guy that NHL teams are maybe going to look to at vacancies at some point. You want championship players, you want championship coaches. What is it that makes David such a special coach?
I think it's a unique story. You know, everyone kind of knows a little bit about his background with what happened with him at the combine. You know, just like what we did today, doing all the tests on your heart, and you know, he got some unfortunate news, and you know, kind of find out you can never play hockey again. And, you know, instead of pouting about it and whatnot, he became the greatest coach. So you know, he's first and foremost, he's an unbelievable guy. You know, someone any of us can go to. He's very understanding, with especially where he's at with his age. I mean, he was in college, you know, not too long ago, and you know, to have that much knowledge as a coach, it's pretty impressive, especially at his age. So you know, in my opinion, I think he's going to be one of the best coaches of all time, not just in college, but in the NHL as well.
National championship game. Are you aware when Macklin Celebrini is coming on the ice? And was that a matchup that you were kind of really looking forward to, you know, facing him and seeing how everything would transpire there?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, our coach is kind of, we do video and stuff before, the games. But, I love going against top line and, trying to hone them in their own zone so they can't get the puck. But, we obviously watch a lot of video on Mac and, obviously the BC guys as well. So, those are tough guys to defend, but we have a really structured group. And obviously Coach Carl has a great, plan for us. So it was great. And, we were ready for the challenge.
So with all that you accomplished this year, World Junior Gold, NCAA Championship, led defenseman in scoring, you've accomplished a lot. The NHL draft's coming up. You're going to have a choice to make. Do you believe you're NHL ready as soon as next season? And if so, what do you still have to do to get there? Or do you want to go maybe at least one more year of college hockey?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more up for discussion with myself and the organization and, wherever I get picked. I think for me, I think it's a transition I can make. But, my feet are at Denver right now, and I think another year could help me for sure. And, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of up for discussion and, kind of know more after the draft.
How important have mom and dad been in this journey for you?
Unbelievable. They're the rock stars. They're the best. The sacrifices they have made for us are, they go unsaid. And, hopefully one day we can kind of repay it all back to them.
Is it for them, was it nice having both guys in the same place? They'd come to Denver, see your brother, and, Everybody's happy.
Definitely. It was definitely nice for them. Obviously, they had to travel to Michigan. And then, at one point I was at Shattuck and Chad was at Sioux City and, they're traveling everywhere. So to kind of both of us be at Denver, they came to every home game just because, they got two kids in the same place. So, they loved it a lot. And it was such a special moment for them and opportunity for them to kind of see Shy and I play together. So it was great.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
I have been to Vegas. Yeah.
We
used to travel there all the time as a family. And, now that we're older, kind of understand what Vegas is. It's pretty crazy that I was there at like 8 years old, but we've been there a couple of times. Special place.
I'm curious. A lot of guys tend to maybe formalize their suit, personalize their suit. Adam Fantilli last year had the name of everybody he ever played with or coached him or helped him along the way on his vest. Are you going to plan on doing anything special come the draft?
Yeah, I feel like that's something you guys got to see, but nothing special. I've got a nice suit with some lining inside, but it was good.
So, Zeev, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck this week.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. Thanks for having me.
NCAA champion at the University of Denver, World Junior gold medalist. You're looking for a winner on top of a super skilled defenseman. How do you get better than Zeev Bouyam?
Freshman defenseman. It's unbelievable that he was able to lead all NCAA defensemen in points this season. It was fantastic. And in addition to that, Adam, he led all defensemen in goals at the 24 World Juniors. 3 goals in 7 games to lead the United States to a gold medal. So Zeev Bouyam is that defenseman. Obviously, he's going to go top. I think he's going to go top 10. I think a lot of pundits, and I can see it in some ways, where there's a comparison going on here between Zeev Bouyam and Zane Parikh, how they kind of have similar styles. They're almost the same size defensively. To me, and I've said this before, I just like the way Zeev defends. I like the way he did so in the Frozen Four. He knows how to gap. He gets a little bit physical, even for his size. And he goes about 6'1", 183, which isn't that small in stature, but still. And I like the way, and he mentioned too, when I asked him about Macklin Celebrini coming onto the ice during the championship game there, what was he feeling? And he the juices were flowing. The adrenaline's going. He likes that competition.
Sure. And I have Bouyam going at number 7 in my mock, in our lottery mock draft. But you look at Dickinson, Bouyam, Parikh, Saleyev, Yakimchuk, all those guys, all top-end defensemen, all potential top 10, top 12 picks, all very different in how they play. I don't know if I see the Bouyam-Parikh comparison. I just think Bouyam is I think Parikh is a superior offensive player. I think Bouyam's a better defensive / all-around defenseman because he is a little bit bigger. He is a little bit stronger. He puts a little bit more emphasis in the defensive side of the game. So if I'm picking one versus the other, and I have Parikh going later in my mock draft, I have him at 13 to Minnesota. That's not a slight on Zane Parikh in the least, but I just think if we're looking at who is going to help an NHL team the most? I think Zeev Bouyam helps you in more areas. He might not be the elite point producer that Zane Parikh is, but I think he helps you in more areas. So if I'm picking that's the guy I take.
Fair enough. I have Zeev going 6 to Utah, and I have Zane going 7 to Ottawa. So it could be a flip there as well. So we go from a two-way type defenseman to perhaps the best shooter, the best goal scorer in this draft, Cole Yzerman.
Mike, I don't think we need to put the qualifier on that. I don't think it's perhaps. I think it is. Every scout we talk to says he has the best shot in this year's draft. So we had the chance to sit down with Cole Yzerman. Here's our conversation with him.
Can you just tell us first how many interviews you have this week and what has the interviewing process been like for you?
Yeah, I have 23 interviews this week with NHL clubs, and it's been pretty cool just kind of showing my personality and kind of showing the side that they aren't able to see kind of through the cage. So,
you know, your shot is the thing that everybody talks about. It's elite. Everyone, every scout, every coach calls it elite. But what are the things you've done to sort of fine-tune it and make this even better, whether it's shooting from different places, off your back foot, just the variety mixed with the velocity and where you shoot it from?
Yeah, it's just kind of trying new things. Obviously, you watch the NHL and you see those guys score goals and you kind of try to do that stuff. And you watch the best shooters and, you know, see the one-timers with some guys, how good they are. And you kind of try to put that in your own game. And, you know, it's just all repetition and practice. So
one of the things I thought was really interesting that we discussed during the season was the way you kind of study goaltenders, goalies that you might face in upcoming games, tournaments. Tell us a little bit about that and describe it for the fans, what you do to kind of prepare for the goalie that you'd be facing.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of watch the goalie and you'll see the goals he let up in the games before, and you can kind of see tendencies of kind of where their glove is or stick and, you know, when they drop and how far they slide. And it's kind of the things that you got to be aware of kind of when you're playing them the next day, and things that I definitely try to practice in practice before we play them. So
I'm curious, you know, everybody gets talked about when they're in your situation, good, bad, and different. You got to try to block it out as best you can. But I talked to Nick Fourier, coach of national team program, and he said there were moments where it got a little bit tough for you. When it got like that, whether the outside noise, whatever it was, who did you sort of lean on and how did you kind of persevere through all that stuff?
Yeah, I kind of just, you know, obviously talking to my family. I've got a huge family, great support system, talking to them, and mostly just stuff about non-hockey kind of gets me, you know, in the mood I want to be, and just kind of having fun with the game, they tell me, and, you know, always kind of try to be me and have fun with the game. So
you have four brothers, you have a fraternal twin.
Yep.
Does he have a good slap shot, a good shot too?
I mean, it's all right for how much he doesn't care about hockey. It's pretty good. So it's not bad.
Talk a little bit about the video sessions with Nick Four and what that was about, what you guys looked for, what he kind of wanted to, you know, teach you and help you for the future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, most of the time it was just going over the shifts of the game and, you know, definitely good, bad, and ugly in there, and just kind of trying to make my game kind of develop into a pro style and a style that's, you know, reliable for a coach. And, you know, I was very, very proud to kind of, you know, go to where I am now and, you know, continue to develop. So
reliable is an interesting word. Just in talking to your coach, he said, you know, the defensive aspect of your game, it's become a big talking point, but he said sort of from when you got to the program to where you were at the World Under 18s, he said it's been a huge improvement to where he remembered, you know, third period gold medal game, there's Cole Yzerman on one knee blocking a shot. So they don't expect you to be a Selke candidate right away, but that aspect of your game, so when people see you as a fully formed hockey player, how close are you to being where you want to be, where you're not just a guy who stands in a circle and rips shot, that you're a playmaker, a play driver, a guy who can be reliable in all situations?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, definitely where I've been, I've kind of been the guy that shoot the puck and maybe not been able to show my playmaking. I can make plays. It's just, you know, my role right now is kind of shoot the puck, so that's what I'm doing. But definitely trying to be out there for as many situations as I can. And you know, I love blocking shots and hitting guys and kind of doing that stuff to get the guys going, and definitely wins games. So continue to do that, and obviously do the different stuff to kind of make sure I play in the NHL.
So you're headed to Boston University next season. In October of this season, you went into BU, NTTP, and you had an exhibition game. You scored 3 goals in a victory. What was that like for you? That had to be something special, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had a lot of family and friends there, and you know, to kind of be playing against a team that you watched growing up, and in that arena, there's nothing quite like it. And ended up having a pretty good night, so the family was pretty happy, and you know, I was pretty pumped, and so was the team. So, yeah.
So speaking of BU, I know originally you had committed to the University of Minnesota. You switched it to BU. Yep. Obviously, having family there, was that the biggest reason why? Just so you could be, you know, obviously 2 years in Michigan, you're away from family, yep, friends, just to be closer to home for at least however long you're in college?
Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason, and the reason that it kind of what happened, and I kind of thought of it and decided to go home. So,
how meaningful was it for you to set the NTTP goals record for a career?
Yeah, it was cool. I think I work on my shot a lot, and you know, I care so much about scoring goals that kind of to have my name there. The guys like Cole, and I know he loves to score, and it's pretty cool, and definitely have that for however long, and I'm pretty proud of myself. So
you went into the program with that as your goal, though, right? Like you wanted to be the guy.
I mean, yeah, I didn't think of that, to be honest. I kind of just wanted be the best player I could be there, and after my first year, the record kind of was started to talk about, and I didn't even think about records kind of when I got there, just because you don't really think of that stuff. You're so fired up to be there, and then ended up having a pretty good first year, and then it was talked about, and I was like, all right, let's do it.
When you watch the NHL playoffs this year, and now with the Stanley Cup Final, the Panthers, the Oilers, when you watch the players, what are you seeing as an NHL, as a player? Do you see players two-way games? You see players playing hard? Do you see finesse goal? What sticks out to you?
Yeah, I think I just see the guys who are kind of just out there, and they're dominating from a bigger game, if that makes sense. Like, you see guys like Matthew Tkachuk, who it seems like his game gets better in the playoffs, and the intensity gets higher, and he gets higher, and it's something that's pretty cool. Guys like Sam Reinhart and guys that I love to watch, and it's a different style. They like to be more physical, and it's definitely harder. You see guys like Bennett, and he's definitely not running around as much in the regular season than he does that in the playoffs, and it's just a different style, and I love it.
But I want to kind of double down, touching on that a little bit. Who do you like watching at the NHL, and what do you kind of take from their games?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching Ovechkin. I think he's my, the guy I try to be the most, and, just being physical, but also loving to score goals. And I've kind of loved to watch Matthew Tkachuk as well. I think he's a great player, kind of intensity, and, he feels like he's always around and always in the mix. And then guys like Austin Matthews, just an American who is surely dominating the league, and kind of can do it all. So
what's kind of your off-season plan now, Cole? I mean, have you spoken to Coach Pandolfo at BU on what he wants you to do in the off-season, and when will you be heading out there?
Yeah, so I'll be at BU right now. I think we're starting the training there with our strength coach, which is going pretty good. Got some local guys that are at the team, and we'll be training with them. And he's in there sometimes saying, but he just wants me to kind of trust the trainer to get me bigger, stronger, faster. And then once the season gets started, he'll start talking about the stuff going into the year. So
being around family is a plus for going to BU, but also being around one of your old buddies, Macklin Celebrini. I know you guys roomed together at Shattuck. I want to ask you about that, but you see Celebrini here. Mm-hmm. Do you kind of say, hey, why don't you stay one more year?
Oh, yeah. I'm always kind of on him about it. And obviously, whatever he does is okay. But, he's in my room almost every night, and we're chilling out, and definitely throwing in some chirps in there once in a while just to kind of get him going. So
you guys were at Chad together for 2 years. He said you guys roomed together for one of the years. I asked him what kind of roommate you were. I want to hear what kind of roommate he was.
I think we're pretty similar. I mean, we had a clean mess room, which was pretty messy, but we knew everything was. And, we had some fun in there, though. He was probably annoyed at my singing at some point or whatever. But, we weren't in our room too much. We were mostly shooting pucks and stuff. But once we were in there, it was a lot of laughs. And he probably calls me a clown or whatever he's saying. But
all right, well, you're not getting away with that. So you're a singer.
Yeah, I love singing. Uh-huh. Probably not good at it, but enjoy doing
not
it.
Important.
What kind of music are we talking about? What genre?
With country. I think it's a good mix of, not sounding that bad, but still some good songs and lyrics. So
the karaoke machine comes out.
Oh yeah, I'm
what's
in there.
You're all
yeah,
over.
I'm
what's
all
your
over
what's
it.
Your first song?
Wagon Wheel.
Oh
yeah,
nice.
I think it's a pretty upbeat song.
yeah,
probably, yeah. I don't know. I probably like that.
I'm just curious. Going back to Macklin, He was very complimentary about you and how great your shot is. Mm-hmm. What can you say about Macklin when you watch him play and where he is, where he's gotten himself to this point in his career?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I was so fortunate to kind of play with him at Shattuck and see the different things he does. And he really did make me a better hockey player overall. And, you know, works so hard in the gym and on the ice and just plays such a good style of hockey. You know, he's always has the puck and he's making plays and, definitely score too. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was lucky at Shattuck to kind of have a lot of backdoor tap-ins and stuff like that. So he's just an unbelievable player and a great kid. So
I'm curious. You mentioned Tkachuk and Matthews, guys you like to watch, national team alums like you are now. There's a little bit of a, you know, a culture where those guys all come back. Have you ever skated with any of the guys? Have you been able to kind of be on the ice with them, off-season training, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that come back, like we had Trevor Zegras this year skate with us, and there's some guys that come back and skate during the year, which is pretty cool. And obviously, you like to pick their brains and you know, kind of talk to them. But like, I saw Cole Caulfield last summer, and great kid. I mean, he was a class act, and those guys are just studs at the next level. But you wouldn't even be able to know. So,
well, Cole, this has been fantastic. It was great getting to know you. Best of luck rest of the weekend at the NHL draft.
Thank you.
There is no doubt Cole Eisenman is a goal scorer, Adam. I had a story that ran on NHL.com today. We had five different voices in there. I had three coaches, a GM, a scout. One of the coaches I remember speaking to, Tom Ward from Shattuck, you know, Ward was telling me how when he had Eisenman, he was so determined to score that he would literally score 500 goals a day practicing his shot. He's called him an absolute machine. He said he's almost like an Ovechkin. And we heard Cole say that when he shoots the puck, he wants to be an Alex Ovechkin. And when he's parked in the right face-off circle, that's what he's doing. He's got that one-timer. And if it's going, it's going into the net. So, you know, he wants to score. That's his MO. But you spoke to Nick Foer. And there were some great conversations there, and Cole did elaborate a little on that.
Yeah, I think what really stood out to me from that conversation, you know, we talked about it with Cole and I talked about it with Nick. It's sort of been a 2-year process to get Cole Eisenman to become the player that they need him to become. He can't just be a guy who shoots pucks. He's got to do more. He's got to be more. And Nick told me about a video session he did with Cole where he said, "You've got 30 goals already. Watch these plays. If you just stopped here, like you know you're supposed to, and made a somewhat of a defensive effort more, you would have 40 goals. So instead of 30, you'd have 40. Instead of 40, maybe you'd have even 50. So it's taken a while for Cole to understand that and to implement that into his game. But then you fast forward to the World Under-18s, third period of a game, there's Cole Eisenman on one knee in the defensive zone, selling out to block a shot. So, like, you don't need him to be, you know, Alexander Barkov. You don't need him to be Bob Gainey today because he's not in the NHL today. He's going to go to Boston University for 1, 2, maybe 3 seasons, and he'll understand and he'll learn that aspect of the game, and he's going to become better at it because he wants to become better at it. He doesn't want to be just a guy who shoots pucks. He wants to be a hockey player. He wants to be more of a well-rounded guy, and I think he's probably expressed that to the teams here as he's spoken to them. He's going to continue to express that, but now he needs to show it. He started on that process during his 2 years at the national team program. Now it's incumbent on him to continue to do it because you got to be more, got to be a guy that can be relied on in all situations. Can't just be a guy standing in the circle and rip pucks.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, he's going to BU. Jay Pandolfo is going to coach him up. That's what Dan Moore said, and we've had Dan on previously on NHL Draft Class. We talked about the final ranks, and we asked on Dan's opinion on Eisenman and where he might land. And you know, Dan's, you know, in the belief that, you know, Eisenman is going to be an elite goal scorer, and you need some type of quality to attract the interest of NHL clubs. He is that goal scorer. That's certainly an attractive option. You need goal scorers to win games in the National Hockey League. And he is working on those other elements, as you suggested. Jay Pandolfo is going to coach him up. He's going to help him with that. Look what he did for Macklin Celebrini in one season. Macklin Celebrini is now considered probably one of the best 200-foot players of this draft class. He's going number one to the San Jose Sharks. So let's see what Cole Eisenman can do as a freshman at BU next season. As you said, it might not be after one season that he becomes an NHL player. It might take 2 or 3 seasons, but he's going to learn the ropes.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to watch, and I think he's going to get there. I have confidence, and there's a determination there, but We talked to Cole Eiserman. We talked to Caden Lindstrom. We talked to Zeev Bouyam. Fantastic stuff while we're here at the NHL Scouting Combine. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to part one where we had Macklin Celebrini, the star of the 2024 draft, the likely expected number one pick, as well as Sharks director of amateur scouting, Chris Morehouse. They have the number one pick. Mike, it's, you know, the draft starts at number two. I think I feel safe in saying that we can kind of, the Sharks have pretty much alluded to they're going to take him. So
absolutely. And we got those other past episodes as well. If you haven't listened to previous episodes, we had David Gregory on, Sportsnet's Jason Bukala. We had JF Danfus to discuss the Q players. We had Al Jensen, the goalie guru, to discuss the goaltenders of this draft class. And we also had our mock drafts. Who knows? Maybe we'll come up with another show for another mock draft, and everyone can read my draft and see how accurate it is by the end of the actual NHL draft in Las Vegas. That's right, Kimmelman. You got to listen to me here. You know, I think I got the goods. I think I got the goods on you.
I wish we had video, because you can't hear the eyes rolling out of the back of my head. But absolutely, to Mike's somewhat of his point, we will have a lot more content on NHL.com, here on NHL Draft Class, as we get closer to the Sphere in Las Vegas, June 28th and 29th. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.